Live from the United Way of Southwest Virginia Digital Studios, this is United Live, a podcast production of the United Way of Southwest Virginia. My name is Ryan Dye. I am the manager of marketing and communications. And today we're diving into the world of community service boards, or CSBs, as you're going to hear them referred to quite a bit today. Here in Southwest Virginia, we're lucky to have six that serve our communities. United Way Education Coordinator Amelia Bertner sits down with Mike Wade. He's the Coordinator of Community Wellness and Outreach with NRV Community Services. They're going to talk about what a CSB's role is in our community, some of the services they can provide, how you can help out, and how you can become an agent of hope. More on that in just a minute. So without further ado, let's get right into their conversation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to United Way of Southwest Virginia's Community Service Board podcast. My name is Amelia Bertner. This will be a series of three podcasts where we will discuss topics related to community service boards and their services throughout Southwest Virginia. We will be bringing on a few guests from different community service boards in our area who will be able to speak to the amazing work they do. Over the three podcasts, you will hear us refer to community service boards as CSBs. Our first guest of the day is Mike Wade from New River Valley Community Services. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Amelia. I'm glad to be here.
Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from.
Sure. So my name's Mike Wade. I am Coordinator of Community Wellness and Outreach Services for New River Valley Community Services, the CSB that serves the greater New River Valley area. And I am a lifelong resident of the New River Valley. So born and raised and have lived there, raised my family, and it's where I know to be home.
Great. It sounds like you're the perfect person to do that work since you're from there. In your own words, Mike, what is a CSB?
I think a community services board, a CSB, is really an essential component to the overall well-being of the communities that it serves. A lot of people see them sometimes as, you know, the last resort or the catch-all, the safety net. But I really like to think of the CSBs in more of a proactive sense, that we are really an integral part of the care that happens in the community. And when you think about the issues that our agencies are in place to address, things around mental health, substance use disorders, I really couldn't imagine what our communities might be like without those essential services. So they really are, to me, vitally important to the communities.
Absolutely. And, you know, from statistics in our community, these CSBs are really, really needed. Would you agree?
Oh, I think the need is great. Our CSB last year served over 12,200 residents, which was a record number for us, the most we've ever served in a given year. And so it's very clear that the need isn't going away. In fact, it's increasing.
Right. So what are the services that your CSB provides?
So our CSB really kind of offers a full continuum of care for folks who live with mental health and or substance use disorders. And that ranges from what I think most people tend to think of when they think about the services we offer, that short-term individual outpatient counseling. But we also have intensive services, some residential services that we provide. Really just kind of depends on the individual's need, but it's a real full continuum of care that goes from prevention to treatment to recovery. Harm reduction is a part of that. So it really is the full gamut, if you will, of anything related to behavioral health services. Plus, we also provide supports for individuals that live with developmental disabilities.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you guys are doing some great work.
I believe that we are. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, great job. So we've talked a little bit about your CSB, New River Valley Community Services. Can you tell us a little bit about the other five CSBs? What are their names?
Sure. So in addition to NRVCS, there is Mount Rogers Community Services, Highlands Community Services, Cumberland Mountain Community Services, PD1 Planning District 1 Behavioral Health Services, and Dickinson County Behavioral Health Services.
Yeah, great, great. Well, they all do great work. I've seen some of the work that they've been doing. So do you know any of the work that these community service boards do?
I will say that when it comes to community services boards, you know, we all have an essential role in the community to be that public provider of behavioral health services. But I think it goes without saying that if you've seen one CSB, you've seen one CSB. Mm-hmm. The purpose may be similar, but the services, how we adapt to meet the needs of the communities that we are responsible for serving, I think are incredibly unique and really specialized to those particular communities. So what happens at NRVCS doesn't necessarily happen parallel to what goes on at Highlands or PD1 or wherever, because we really try to be innovative and creative in how we adapt our services to meet the needs of our specific communities.
Right. Wonderful. Now we've heard everything or a bunch of the things that NRVCS is doing. So just imagine all the other wonderful things that five other CSBs are doing in Southwest Virginia. And I know we've seen some of that work, so it's really amazing.
Well, I think one of the real advantages of having an agency like a community services board in your community is that we partner so often with other providers, other agencies, other entities, because we often share a lot of common clientele with Department of Social Services, the Health Department, Court Services. We see a lot of the same faces come through our door. And I think we all recognize that most often the folks that we interact with and provide services to have ancillary needs that go beyond the immediate scope of what we can do to help them. And so those partnerships that we have in the community are incredibly important.
Yeah. So I think the communities are seeing just how important these CSBs are. Can you go a little bit more into why it's important to have a CSB in your community?
You know, I think the biggest advantage is that because we are a public provider, we're able to provide services to folks who wouldn't be able to pay necessarily for private providers. A majority of the individuals that we serve are Medicaid eligible. And so that's a big part of the population that we serve. Without that kind of assistance, most of the individuals that we interact with simply wouldn't be able to receive those services. And while a lot of the work that we do, the services we provide, are reactive in a sense, I really think that if we're able to intervene, work with folks, and get them engaged in services, it can reduce the need for more intensive services, prevent crises, prevent them harming themselves, causing harm to others. I just think it's a really vital part of the community. And again, I think the fact that we are a public provider and we work with folks who have little or no income that couldn't pay for their services out of pocket, I think that's incredibly important.
Great. Now, would you say every community needs a CSB?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. Some form or fashion of a CSB, that public entity that is responsible for the behavioral health care of their community, it's essential. I mean, I just can't imagine our communities, what they would look like if, in our case, NRVCS wasn't there to provide the services that we do.
Absolutely. Now, we are very fortunate to have six CSBs that serve our region. And I know some other regions are not so lucky. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I've been with NRVCS for almost 24 years now and really couldn't imagine doing anything else with my career. It's so rewarding from a professional sense and even personally to see the impact of the work that we do in the community and how lives can really be enhanced and even transformed.
Right. Now, from United Way of Southwest Virginia's perspective, we've seen all the work that you all are doing. So y'all are doing a great job. So what can the community do to help the work of the CSBs?
I think one of the biggest things that community members can do is educate themselves about the issues, the disorders that we're responsible for serving. It's tough for me to say this, but I really think it is true. We tend to be one of the best kept secrets in our communities because I think if you or someone in your immediate family doesn't have a need for the type of services we provide, you probably aren't inclined to find out more about, you know, who we are. And admittedly, the term community services board, our community services agency, doesn't really give you a lot to go on. So it's a little vague in that sense. But yeah, I think that if you are a community member who has any kind of interest or concern about the state of behavioral health in your community, educate yourself about the issues. Do what you can to be a voice that speaks out against stigma, whether it be mental health or substance use disorders, and be a champion for those who don't have a voice to speak up on behalf of themselves, either because of limitations of their abilities or perhaps, you know, with their struggles with addiction, they're just not in a place where they can speak up and advocate on their own behalf. I would call on community members to be that voice mm-hmm. and to be that champion for others who are struggling, really some of our most vulnerable residents in our communities that need that kind of support that often just can't advocate for themselves. So be the voice, be the inspiration, the hope, and help other community members become more enlightened about what we do.
That's beautiful. And knowing our community, I know they would be happy to do that. So if anybody's listening, please be that champion for our local CSBs because they are doing such important work. Now, Mike, you have a newsletter that goes out. Mm-hmm. Is it weekly?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you like to speak about that?
Well, we do produce a weekly e-newsletter that we send out to the members of our 5 community prevention coalitions that really are just groups of stakeholders and concerned community members who care about the work that we do and want to have a meaningful impact on the work that we do. So we put that out once a week just to try and keep folks engaged and informed about, you know, things that we're doing as a CSB, but also what some of our partner agencies that work closely with us are doing. And again, it's really just about education and awareness. I think with knowledge becomes, you know, comes power, and it's really about being informed.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how can people sign up for that newsletter?
If you're interested in signing up for our newsletter, you can email info@nrvcs.org. That comes straight to me, so I'll be the person that reads your email.
All right. Now, Mike, you have a few other things going on with NRVCS that I've seen going around that I think are really important. So would you like to share those things?
Yeah, I think one of the most exciting things that we have going on right now is our HOPE campaign. It's a wellness campaign that really just centers around the concept of hope. It's a very basic elementary concept, but I think anyone can resonate. It resonates with anyone because it's a term that I think we all, you know, want to make part of our lives. And the services that we provide through NRVCS ultimately are about giving people hope. Mm-hmm. So much of what we hear about and work on in behavioral health these days focuses on people who don't have that hope. You know, we hear the term deaths of despair a lot. Mm-hmm. Terms of overdose and suicide. And so, you know, I think the antidote for that is to provide hope. And at the end of the day, no matter what we provide service-wise, ultimately, I think that's our goal with the folks that we work with. We want to give them hope. We want to give them a belief that tomorrow will be better. Today might be difficult, but tomorrow could be better, you know? And there are people who care about them and want them to have a good quality of life. So hope seems very basic, but I think we as CSBs, that should be what we serve up to our communities, just like McDonald's serves up hamburgers. Mm-hmm. We should be serving up hope at the end of the day. And so we've had that in place for about a year now, and really just trying to focus on different aspects of wellness, financial, social, spiritual, physical, you know, just the different components of wellness that give us all a chance to have a good life. And so we are trying to reinforce that message. And we're doing that with some profiles of local residents, people who live in the New River Valley that sound like us, look like us. We know them. We run into them in the grocery store. We didn't want to use, you know, actors or packaged clip art or stock photos. We really wanted this to be something that would resonate with the community.
Real people
with a real message, mm-hmm. all centered around hope. And that's been really well received. So a secondary piece of that has been something that we're really just now getting into is launch of our Hope Hub app. Mm-hmm. It's a resource app that's very specific to the five jurisdictions that we serve as a CSB. And it's really just about trying to connect people to those ancillary services and supports that go beyond the scope of what our CSB is able to do, recognizing that a lot of those folks have those needs like clothing, housing, shelter, food access, those kind of things that really have an impact on their behavioral health, but aren't immediately things that we can help them with. So we've kept the app very simple. It's very basic, but we wanted to make it easy for people to access and find the information that they need. So that is now available. It's called Hope Hub, and you can get it on Apple or Android devices. It's completely free to download and use, and we are continuing to update, add resources as we get into it. It's been out for about 2 months now, and continually get requests from resources agencies in the community that want to be a part of it. And so it's growing. It's going to be constantly a work in progress and ever evolving. But 2 months in, and we've had about 2,000 downloads of that app, which...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think for a regional app, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I will say I am one of those downloads.
Yay!
I have been sharing this app everywhere because right. I think it is the most needed thing in our community. And you all have done a fantastic job. Can you go into a little bit about what services are on that app?
Yeah. So obviously we have categories of providers under things pertaining to behavioral health. So mental health services, substance use services, addiction services, and we have housing, shelter, food assistance. We even just got a recommendation or a suggestion that we include something about animal care.
Oh, great.
Recently. And you think about that and you're like, well, wow, why is that a big deal? You know, a lot of the folks that we see who have crisis situations come up, maybe they're TDO'd or they're hospitalized for a mental health emergency. One of the questions we always hear from the folks is, what am I going to do with my dog?
What am I going to do with my dog?
You know, so emergency pet care, food assistance for maybe folks who are struggling that can't pay for food for their pets. That's another category that we hadn't really considered out of the gate. But as we have these conversations with our partners in the community, they're like, you know, have you thought about this? So
that's great.
As I said, it's ever evolving. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll ever be a completed work because things will change. Agencies will go away. New agencies will show up. New resources will be available. And I think it's important for us to make sure that it's timely, accurate, stays up to date. And it does take a little bit of a financial investment to make sure that that happens. But we're committed to doing that because it's only as good as it is timely and relevant and accurate.
Right.
So yeah, it's been a big undertaking, but I think it's paying off already and that makes me feel good.
It absolutely is. And I've seen other people calling to that as well. So great job.
Well, thank you.
I think you all are doing amazing work. Are there any other things that you want to plug or anything before we wrap up for the day?
You know, we're continuing to do a lot of work under overdose awareness prevention, education around opioids, poly substance use. And so we continue to promote our hashtag #EndOverdoseNRV campaign. We've had that in place for a few years now. And because that issue, you know, the immediate threat of opioids, particularly fentanyl being so potent, and the potential risk of overdose and even death, we're trying to keep that out there. And just continuing to make folks aware of the potential dangers of that kind of substance. But, you know, with our work, I feel like there's always job security because we're always going to be battling.
The goal is to not have a job, correct?
I mean, in a perfect world, yes. We would not be needed and the services that we provide would not be necessary. But the reality is, you know, challenges around addiction, mental health are always changing. And so...
Absolutely.
We have to adapt accordingly. Yeah.
Well, it seems like you all are doing a great job at adapting. So I've been to a few of those end overdose events and they're just wonderful. They're very emotional. And it's, I don't know what the word is here.
Well, you know, as much as
a call to action.
Yeah. As much as we talk about the numbers you know, 110,000 people died last year from overdose. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, these are sons, daughters, spouses, parents who are losing their lives. I mean, this isn't just about data.
Absolutely.
This is about real people.
Real people, real lives.
Yeah.
Real lives. So it's an incredibly important work you all are doing.
Well, thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I can't think of anything
Think of anything. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mike.
It's been my pleasure.
Appreciated this time, enjoyed this time with you.
Yeah, same.
And I look forward to the work you all do in the future and the work of all of our six CSBs and seeing everything that you all do.
Sounds great.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's great having you.
Yeah. Great to be here.